Just before we get into the word, and I'm excited, listen, is this a word really straight from heaven, and it's going to really, really touch you. Say with me, open heart. Say open spirit. You know, the Bible says that by the entrance of his word, he giveth light. Meaning that when we open his word and he opens it for us, there's some people, they can read the word and nothing happens because it is not open to them by God. When he opens the word to us, then we get into a, what we call revelation, apocalypsis. Say with me, apocalypsis. Like I say, ECC is not a church. It is a revelation. It is an apocalypsis. It is a lifting of the veil. Are you guys with me? So when there's, in Psalm 119, King David says, by the entrance of your words, you give light. Which means when we read the word and he opens it to us via revelation, there's a certain technique where it enters into your spirit. When it enters into you, then only does light come. Are you guys with me? The devil is not afraid of the anointing. He is the anointed cherub. But he is afraid of somebody that carries light. Light means, to what degree have you seen God face to face? Light means, comes also when the word is open to us, the second way. The third way the light comes is when we give financially. And that's in Isaiah chapter number 60. The Bible says that they shall come to you because of your great light that have, and wealth of the Gentiles shall come from other nations, shall come to you. And it says, because of your light. Are you guys with me? I've seen some preachers, and in their eyes there are no light. The congregation members has more light in them than what they have, and they're trying to preach them. So it's the blind leading the blind. Are you guys happy this morning? Are you guys okay? Okay. Say these words with me. Say the spirit of intimidation. Say it again. Say the spirit of intimidation. Now, we prophesied just then now, but more in the first service, we prophesied a lot because they usually miss out and we pray for people here. But we prophesied a lot. And how many of you were here last week, Sunday night, if I can just see by the raising of hands? And, tonight is going to be powerful. We're going to be ministering on how to become the best friend of God. There is a way to do it. And, and our evening services is prophetic. There's power. We'll prophesy a lot there. But I want to just give you an example. I think it was last week, second service. I was prophesying over a gentleman. I'm not sure if he's here. And is he here? Is it? Where is he? There were so many people I prophesied over. Oh, I think it is. You're sitting there, sir? I think so. Huh? Not? Okay. Not? I think he's confused. Anyway. I prophesied over many people, but the one specifically came out to me, you know, and I shared with the first service as we're going to get into the message, and you're going to see how it lines up with intimidation. I explain how the prophetic works usually. Prophetic works, number one is imagination. Meaning if I walk up to somebody, and this has happened here, and I visit her for the first time there, and I see them, and I see a name, I walk there and I'm imagining it. It's not a voice that comes to me. There's over 143 ways that God speaks. One of them is your imagination. Are you guys with me? And I would imagine, I wonder if his name is this. And then I ask him, who is this? And the person would say, that's my name. Very simple. That's one of the keys. The second one is what we call boldness. Boldness comes when you are bold. So when you take your steps. I was praying for this one gentleman last week. I was praying and praying, and he fell to his knees. But as he fell to his knees, I heard the name Kevin, and it would take boldness of me to. So I stand up. I say, "Listen here, who is Kevin?" And I see a problem here with the heart. And Kevin is not really a black person's name. Kevin is a redneck name, okay? So it's another, so that's how the prophetic works. You know, you must be wise also. And I hear Kevin. I was getting up, I said, listen, Kevin in the heart. And he said, no, Kevin is his father. And he's, you know, battling with issues. Yeah, so it's simply boldness. You know, I was sharing Sia's testimony in the first service. Sia was there. I said, your father will be restored to you. I see him coming back to you. That's it. And I walked on. I didn't know anything. I thought, actually thought after the meeting that his dad was dead. And I thought that then I missed it. Now I must go try to explain to the guy that that I made a mistake and all this stuff. Just now he thinks his dad is going to be raised from the dead. So I'm thinking maybe his father is dead. And I carry on. 2 days later, I get a message from him. And he said, man of God, if you knew, you know, if you would have spoken to me one-on-one, I would not have believed you. Because of all the abuse and hurt and pain that he has caused, we haven't seen him for years. He said, so what happened was Sunday night, he phoned his mom after the meeting and he said, you know, this was prophesied about my dad. And his mom said to him, that is a true prophet of God. Your dad, a day before, called me and said he wants to bring restoration. He wants to come back. Now, that's not even everything. Then his father phoned him and spoke to him for the first time in 2 years. The night I pointed and I said, I see restoration. Do not underestimate the prophetic. The question is, would it have happened if I didn't do it? That's the other question we have to ask ourselves. So, you know, he says to me, and the message is heartfelt. And he said, I haven't spoken to my dad in 2 years. We had the best conversation. He said this and that and this and that and this and that. And the prophetic, one prophetic word, is a light in a dark place. Doesn't matter what darkness you are in. It doesn't matter what circumstances are taking place. One word from God can change your season. It can change your life. Are you guys with me? So we must not, as a nation, silence prophets. Because as I said, when we do it, we silence prosperity. And we silence the voice of God. Are you guys with me? So say with me, intimidation. So I would not have been able to do those things if there was intimidation upon my life. When the spirit of intimidation would come on me, or I would feel intimidated, I don't, but if I would, I would not be able to move in any gifts. God will literally take his hand off of me like this, because now I'm submitting to a spirit of intimidation and not the spirit of God. Are you guys with me? I used an example. I said, Gerard, if he has to now feel intimidated, I don't know, maybe somebody's giving him an evil eye, which we'll explain now. And maybe if he fell into some sin, I don't know what. And now he's getting onto the piano and he's feeling intimidated. And the devil is saying to him, listen here, because you have done this week, there's going to be no anointing. You know? And that's the first lie. Because the Bible says, he who says there's no sin in his life is a liar. But the devil will still tell us, you sinned this week so you can't anoint, as if like now you didn't sin at all, then it will be anointed. No, when we say we don't sin at all, the Bible says that we are a liar. Are you guys with me? So now the spirit of intimidation comes on him. Now all of a sudden the anointing lifts. It doesn't matter what he does. He'll be sweating. He'll do everything and it'll feel like a wall that is right in front of him. It's called witchcraft. Are you guys with me? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians church in Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 1. Put it on the screen. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 1. Listen to this. This was a church that moved in power. In the mornings, I told you we teach. And in the evenings, we prophesy mostly and preach and lay hands. Are you guys with me? So come, you need both. If you only get the word, you dry up. If you only get the power, you become flaky and you blow up. But if you have both the word and the power of God as a foundation, that is when you grow up. You become mature. Are you guys with me? So, listen to this. So this church, Galatians, was full of power. The gifts of the Holy Ghost was moving here. But something happened and Paul came back to this church and he realized, what is going on here? The power of God is gone. No one is getting healed. He says, listen, he says, no one is being prophesied to over. No demons are being cast out, which means the power of God has been taken out of the building. And he's saying these words. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Say with it, bewitched. Now you must understand, he's speaking to a church. He's not speaking to witches. Are you guys with me? So he says, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? The word bewitched means this. It means to cast a spell on someone. Then it means to behold, to look, to cast an evil eye, to look with an evil eye. If you come out of religion, you will see that you come in dressed different or whatever, or you see a sinner coming off from the street, and you'll have your ochie stani there. And so gonna looking at the person like this. And, you know, you can see the eye is evil. That eye there casts a spell. And it binds that person, making that person feeling judged, number one. Number two, making this person feeling intimidated. Never wants to come back to the church. So why do we need Satanism out there? They can't touch you in this. If you're anointed, a Satanist can't touch you. They try to come with me with guns and knives and everything. They cannot touch me when I'm anointed. But the thing that can touch me is if somebody is bewitched in a church. And sometimes we get them, not now this service, also not the previous service, sometimes at night, sitting there at the back. And they come and they look at us like this. And they don't know that right there, God is calling them a witch. God is calling them a witch. And they stand up. Usually before we get going, they run out. Okay? So, and I told you, we have physically picked up people. We have physically dealt with some people. Quickly. This is a fun ministry. I'm calm now. I am very calm now. But I am very calm. We were explaining to somebody yesterday how, or the day before, how we would confront people. Somebody was sitting in a meeting and I see them giving me an evil eye. I'll just, for example, okay? He doesn't give me an evil eye. I'll just walk up straight like this. Remember the one meeting? And I said, and I would look them in the eyes and then they would begin to shake, okay? Because then I would elevate something. And I said, so what are you doing? And the person would sit there. I said, stand up. I said, do you want to fight me? I said, stand up. And then the person says, and then all of them quickly closed their books, their cell phones, because all of them were Satanists that's recording our meeting like this. The one person I walked to, stand up quickly. I'm getting to a point. Are you guys with me? We were preaching in a church, and we're going back there. And not to the church, but... And you're going to see much more of this stuff. And I'm walking past this man to pray for him. The power of God is all over the building. One man soiled himself, running into the church, screaming while I'm preaching, fell on the floor, soiled himself, a heroin addict, in front of the whole church. We did deliverance on him. He's set free completely, back into his sane mind. And that meeting, I was walking, and I'm walking past this beautiful couple. They look like, you know, they got their beige Bronx, you know? Okay. So, nice checkered shirt, not Versace now, but checkered shirt, you know, tucked in, nice Cartesian, okay? I don't know, maybe he was on the way to become a diakon of something, you know, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't know, that's how he looked. So I walked past him. I'm looking at his wife and I'm looking at him. First, he can't look at me. He's looking there. Okay. So I stand in front of him. So I say, look at me. He's looking there. As I walk away, I see he looks at me. And as I walk away, I heard God say, that eyes have seen murder. So I go back to him and I hit him. Like, yeah, like make it strong so that I can show that I can show you. So make it strong. So I hit like this or something. I did like this. And his whole shirt ripped open here. And he was recording me right there. There's a microphone there. And then afterwards, I get a message. An email. Yes, thanks, you can have your seat. Sorry. I get an email. As I got back from an anonymous thing, saying, if you think, little boy, that your life will end well, you got another thing coming. I will shoot your wife in the head. I will rape your daughter. And we're coming for you. And that's one of many. The devil is afraid of someone who walks in light. I tell you. Someone who walks in light. They can put a gun to your head. They won't be able to pull that trigger. Because they're touching God's anointed. And if you question this, test it. You know, when you're sitting in this building, you have a purpose. When you're under ECC, you have a purpose. Because you have a purpose, death is not allowed to take you before your time and before the purpose is finished. That is how it is. So, I'm speaking about intimidation. I've been in meetings and the devil will try to make you feel intimidated. And as soon as I'm intimidated, witchcraft comes in and the power of God leaves in an instant. And nobody will ever know this until you travel and you preach. Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? Who has casted an evil eye on you? Looked at you with religious look. That's a spell. So sometimes, you know, somebody can look at me with religious look. I'll be like, stop cursing me. It's a curse in the spirit. Now, thirdly, it means to intimidate. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? The word bewitched means to intimidate. Are you guys with me? Intimidation is one of the three legs of witchcraft, Satanism, of witchcraft. The first is intimidation. The second leg is manipulation. The third leg is control or domination. If those things is evident in a church, you must know that the Spirit of the Lord is not there. The spirit of witchcraft is there. When I sense there's intimidation in a church or control, I know God is no longer there. There's now a bewitching going on. One member leaves the church and the pastor goes frantic and phones everybody else and say, listen, somebody as a rebel has left my church. Phone the person and say, you're going to be cursed if you leave the street. Are you even not talking nonsense? We are here to be over God's flock, not my own flock. I don't want you as my own flock. I love you, but you are God's flock. Okay. We have a lot of flock. We have 800 individuals on a Sunday. So the third service is tonight, which is packed. So say with me, intimidation. That spirit is going to be broken tonight. Because you're going to see today. Because you're going to see how powerfully it influences people. You're going to see how powerfully it can grab a hold of people and influence people. You know, before we get into the sermon, just give me, we'll be finished soon. Say with me again, say the spirit of intimidation. I want to start off with this, and we will be quick. Just a few points to get through to you. I used the beginning, and what I explained to you in the beginning, just talking, is as an illustration to what the spirit of intimidation can do. When intimidation comes upon somebody, they cannot preach. When it comes upon somebody, they cannot do their work. There's symptoms to intimidation. And we're going to get through those things. But let me just read to you something here. In Numbers chapter number 13, verse number 1. I'm not going to put that on the screen. We're going to get into another scripture that will get on the screen. Just, you can take it down if you want. Just Numbers 13, verse number 1. We see how the 12 spies were sent out to Canaan for the promised land to go spy it out. And the scripture says this. It says these words. I'm going to quote it, unquote it almost. But it says it in these words. It says, 10 came back with a negative report. And 2, Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. Those who came back with a negative report said these words. Are you guys with me? They said these words. They said, there also we saw the Nephilim, giants, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. Say with me, own sight. And so we were in their sight. Say with me, their sight. Listen to me. Now there's a whole lot of things wrong with this verse. We became grasshoppers. Say with me, became. Which means they were not grasshoppers. They began to make themselves small. But the Bible says, in their own eyes, first, they saw themselves weak in their own eyes first. Then they go on, they say, and so we were also in their sight, in their eyes. But what is confusing about the scripture is that these were spies sent out. No one has seen them. So what are they talking, saying that we have become small in the enemy's eyes? Intimidation will cause you to create an enemy for yourself that is not even there. They were spies. No one saw them. Are you guys with me? Yet they said, in the sight of these giants, Nephilim, we were also grasshoppers. We were also grasshoppers. When we submit to the spirit of intimidation, it will cause you to feel small. Unable to do anything, unable to get a job. It's the spirit of intimidation operating. And then it will create an enemy for you. And you will think that enemy is seeing you even like that. And there is not even that enemy. Are you guys with me? Okay. Can we get into stuff? Listen here. Listen. It was intimidation that caused the Israelites. Intimidation that caused the 12 spies and prevented them from entering into the calling and the destiny of God for their lives. Intimidation is this. It makes you powerless. Say with me, powerless. It makes you paralyzed. Listen, there are two types of response. They call it fright and flight. Am I right? So, somebody comes in by Chris and puts a gun to his head. Now, Chris is a little kid. They put a gun to his head, so he goes into fright mode. He's shaking, goes cold, unable to think, paralyzed. Are you guys with me? I've had guns on me, okay? And they come to Matthew, the same thing. Now, here's flight. I think they call it flight. I might be wrong. Fright, flight, and fight. Okay, is it three? Huh? Fight or flight? No. Anyway, the concept is going to come through, okay? What I mean by that is that some people go free, they paralyze. Another person reacts instantly. Another person runs. If you want to bring in a third one, okay? taking flight. However, I'm not a psychologist. I'm bringing a thing through so that you can understand paralysis under intimidation. This is the tactic of the enemy. He wants to bring fear and anxiety to paralyze you, saying to you, you will not be able to pay rent. You will not be able, you're going to lose your car. You're going to get retrenched. This is going to happen. Your wife or your husband is going to leave you. Everything is going to fall apart. It's bringing and suggestions into you to intimidate you. When Goliath stood in front of the Israelites, the Bible says for 40 days, he spewed out intimidations, hatred, bitterness, angry, but he was intimidating them. He was simply intimidating. Listen here, when the devil intimidates you, it is just a threat. He cannot do anything. When a lion roars, it is because he hasn't begun running yet. So when you hear the roar of the enemy, it means he is not chasing you yet. He is only sitting in a place and roaring because you have stepped into his territory. Are you guys with me? But on the listen, the Bible says that he is like, say with me, like a lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. But on the inside of us, there isn't somebody like a lion. There is the lion of the tribe of Judah that is on the inside of you. And you must learn how to get that boldness out. The Bible says that the righteous is as bold as a lion. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. You can go to your dead church. It's okay. So with the intimidation. Intimidation is a killer, number one. It seeks to devour you. It seeks to bring destruction. It seeks to steal your faith. It robs you of your joy. When intimidation comes, you will have no more smile on your face. You know, I was sitting last night late. We work with people. Mijon worked with me now for a few weeks. Do I work hard? Very hard. Because some people here think I just work on Sundays. To have this, Jesus says, I'm about with my Father's business. Listen, intimidation will keep you from the call of God for your life. Intimidation can keep you from your God-given destiny. There's two ways intimidation can come to you. Two ways. The first way intimidation comes is by circumstances, the waves. It's like Peter walking out on the water, and then he looked at the waves and the storm. He got intimidated and he fell through. You go through the ability to do supernatural things. But the moment you get intimidated, you will fall through. Are you guys with me? The second thing that brings intimidation is this. A person with a spirit of intimidation on them that comes to you and puts it on you. They'll have a way they look at you. They'll have a way whether they stand next to you, and you will feel intimidated. You feel like you're shaking. You know, one time it happened with my staff. I came in, and the staff, one or two of them, were shaking like that next to me. I said, what happened here? I said, this is not my spirit. This is not. Somebody said something that put witchcraft on them. So, I'm just training you guys. As a training center on a Sunday morning. 1 Kings 19 verse 1 to 2. And Ahab, listen to this, told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Listen to this. Let me explain. Ahab, this was at the moment when Elijah called down fire from heaven on the prophets of Baal. And then took a sword and began to cut them up in pieces. That was a prophet, okay? Like this horror movies, that was the scene. Then Ahab, who was the king, and his wife Jezebel, it says they heard about this. The Bible says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger. Say with me, a messenger. Many times a messenger of Satan is sent to you, in your ear or in your mind or as subtle suggestions, telling you, you cannot do your rent or you're going to lose your house. You're never going to get married anyway. You are too old. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life, Elijah, as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. What she was saying, she said, listen here, the way you called fire down and you took your sword and you cut all those prophets into pieces, may God do to me whatever he wants if I don't kill and chop you up in pieces by tomorrow. One woman made Elijah run for his life. Though he killed hundreds of prophets the minute before. Are you guys with me? Listen to this. Tomorrow about this time. So it's like one word caused Elijah to go into confusion, depression, and he completely lost his vision. One word of intimidation came after his biggest victory. I've had meetings. Thousands of people, the power of God would fall. And the day thereafter, I would get back home or something, and the enemy would intimidate me or say something. And when I say intimidate, it's not like a thought. We have death threats coming. Or I'm standing and I'll see myself in a trance being killed and my whole family being killed. Remember when Jesus met Satan in the wilderness, Satan wasn't a physical person coming to him. He saw it in the spirit, being standing to him like that, okay? So, listen. Jezebel was like the king leader, like the ringleader, a kingpin in this area. This is the symptoms of intimidation. Let me read you the symptoms. How do I know if intimidation is working against me? Whether it's from my husband, my wife, my unbeliever boss, my pastor, me, Leon, I don't know. How do I know if intimidation is working against me? Confusion. I have depression. Hopelessness. Loss of vision. Discouraged completely. Frustration. And paralyzed with fear. So paralyzed. Intimidation will literally paralyze the calling of God upon your life. It will put to death any gift, and I get there now. Go with me to 1 Kings 19, verse 8. Listen to this. 1 Kings 19, verse 8. Listen to this. Then, so he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb. Let me just explain to you. This was Elijah running from Jezebel. Are you guys with me? He met an angel. He wanted to die. He asked God to kill him. He met an angel. The angel made him a cake. He ate the cake. Supernatural food. So don't just go into any fast, stupid, okay? On the strength of that food, he went 40 days. So it'll be 40 days. How many of you have ever fasted? Just raise your hands. How many of you have ever felt that God spoke to you in that fast? Raise your hands. Okay, awesome. Look at this. He fasted for 40 days. Next verse. And then he went into a cave afterwards and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Meaning, God did not speak to him for the whole 40 days that he was fasting. No food, no water. God did not speak to him. When the spirit of intimidation comes, it will silence heaven over your life. It will cause brass heavens to take place. And if you carry on really reading here and you understand, and you will see that how he thought that the voice of the Lord was in a fire or in a storm or in this or in, there was confusion in his life. Because of intimidation. Are you guys with me? Listen to this. Go for it to 1 Kings, and we're just carrying on. 1 Kings 19, verse 15. We're almost finished. 1 Kings 19, verse 15. Now he's in this cave. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Next verse. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, don't worry about this, the son of Nimshah, as king of Israel. But listen to this one. And Elisha, say with me, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehelo, you shall anoint him as prophet in your place, which means intimidation caused Elijah to lose the call of God and for God to replace him with another. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying. When the word is saying, I will put him as prophet in your place, meaning Elijah, you are gone. It's finished. Your office is over because you were intimidated by a Jezebel. Jezebel is not a woman with pink lipstick and a red dress or a short mini skirt. Jezebel can be a man with gray hair in a suit. Are you guys with me? It's a spirit that promotes itself. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, that woman Jezebel that calls herself a prophetess, which means God never called her a prophetess, she called herself a prophetess. Are you guys with me? Now listen, listen. He says, anoint Elisha in your place. He says, and he goes on, verse 18. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and my mouth has not kissed him. Listen. Elijah said he's the only one left. God is saying, no. I got 7,000 others. I'll replace you in one day. Prepared already, prepared. Meaning they've been trained in the prophetic already. Are you guys with me? They have been prepared. Reserved, meaning they're on reserve. Listen. So Elijah comes to a place where he takes Elisha. He trains him for 4 years. And he then puts the mantle on him. But I'm speaking about intimidation. Say with me, intimidation. Through ministry, that devil works through most pastors. When a minister is insecure, intimidation, he puts intimidation on the people. Now, there's a difference between authority and intimidation. Are you guys with me? The one demeans, the other one builds up. So, the one breaks down, the other one builds up. So, I remember I spoke in the week to those who have mentored me and fathered me and in the ministry. And I spoke to Pastor Mark, spoke to Prophet Angel. But these words came out of me. I said, it's the best feeling to be free. But I will not be owned. And it starts with intimidation. When somebody is not secure in themselves, they are being intimidated by someone. And their life from that moment will be suffocated. Are you guys with me? My question is this. Are you going to be a Elijah that ran or an Elisha that fought and said, I hear the barking of dogs getting ready to lick up the blood of Jezebel, the one who took out the one before me, that one that killed my father or wanted to kill him. It takes somebody with boldness and courage that is brave and say, I will not submit to the words and intimidations and threats of Jezebel. Listen. I'll close off with this, but this is important. Are you guys with me? Listen, Timothy, in the scripture, Timothy was given a church of about 100 to 120,000 people. Timothy was only 30 to 40 years old. When he went and he was given this church, there was a board of elders already in place by Paul. Paul put elders in place to rule and to look over and watch and take care of the church. So as he did it, he as Timothy went into the church there, 100 to 120,000 people, he became very intimidated. That's why Paul would say to him, do not despise your youth, Timothy. And he says, that's why Timothy began to get ulcers, because all those elders began to come against him. Say, Timothy, listen here, we're going to now tell you what to preach. We're going to now do this one, this thing here, or that, or we're going to do this. And he became, he's like in a place where now there's witchcraft. And then Paul gives him an instruction and says to him, listen, Paul gives him a few instructions. Let me read this to you. So all these intimidations were coming against Timothy. And Paul says to Timothy, first of all, he says, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, you can put it on the screen. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. He says, therefore, Timothy, I remind you. Say with me, remind. Which means, remember, I need to remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Say with me, laying on of hands. Listen here. I remind you, says Paul. Why is Paul reminding him? Because there was a first letter that was written. This is 2 Timothy. But Paul wrote to him something in 1 Timothy. Are you guys with me? Go to 1 Timothy 4 verse 14. Let's see what Paul wrote for him there. 1 Timothy 4 verse 14. Do not neglect. Say with me, neglect. The gift that is in you, Timothy. So Paul had to remind him of what he said to him here. He said, which was given. Say with me, given. So not earned, eh? Given. Are you guys with me? When your child gets a Christmas gift, a birthday gift, it cannot be earned. If it is earned, you are a bad parent. It's a gift. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you, Timothy, by prophecy. Say with me, prophecy. Ah, so prophecy can give gifts. And with a laying on of hands. So when we do a ring of fire or when we pray, laying on of hands has the ability to impart some spiritual gift. Are you guys with me? The word neglect means this. It means to disregard. Don't disregard the gift, Timothy. Don't discount it. Don't ignore it. Don't underestimate it. Don't overlook it. Don't undervalue it. Listen. Don't undervalue it. This is what the word neglect means. He said, Timothy, I have given you a gift. By the laying on of hands and by prophecy, you received the gift. That's importation. That's what you will receive here. You will maybe receive it in 5 other churches. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Meaning, neglect. Do not underestimate. If you're called as a pastor, say I'm a pastor. You know, many churches are so apologetic. They always say, you know, you only have to call me Leon. Don't worry. Just call me Leon. No. If God called me a pastor, if God called me a prophet, I'm a prophet. If you call that one an apostle, he's an apostle. If I do otherwise, I'm insulting him and I'm correcting him on my calling. Are you guys with me? That's why Paul all the time said, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not into titles, of course not. But I'm explaining to you about neglect, what people do. They look at themselves and the gifts in them and they undermine it and they undervalue it. There's a gift in you. The word gift means a divine endowment from heaven of grace upon your life. The word grace does not mean not to sin. The word grace means this. It means a measure that you have to do something supernatural that a normal person cannot do. That is why there's gifts being imparted here. That is why we do school of discipleship, school of mentorship, F1, F2, deliverance. Get people through deliverance immediately. And then we impart gifts to them, activate gifts to them that you can be used for the kingdom of God. Don't be upset with me if the church messed you up previously. Are you guys with me? Please, people come in here. They're so angry at me. I'm like, where are you from? No, it's the first time, but why are you angry with me? Go back to your own pastor and be angry with him. if he misrepresented God or whatever. Don't say, I have a gift. Say it again. Say, I have a gift that is there in you. The problem is intimidation paralyzes that gift. I'll close with this verse. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Listen to this. Therefore, Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Go for the next verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Say with me, fear. But of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Meaning, Timothy, you are neglecting this gift because of the fear and intimidation that has come upon your life. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. The enemy wants to take the gifts that you have and paralyze it because of fear. It's like the one person. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. It's like the one person. The Bible speaks of a parable. The one was given one talent. The other one was given two or three. The other one was given five. But the person that was given the one talent dug a hole in the ground, put the talent in, then closed it. And when the master came back, God is a good investor, okay? He looks to see, can I invest in this one or that one? Will they multiply my money? So that's why some are poor and some are rich. He puts the talent in. His master comes back. He says, what have you done with what I gave you? He said, he gave him one back. He said, Master, I was fearful of you, of what you were going to do to me. Fear caused him to bury the gift and the talent that he has. Intimidation will cause you to be paralyzed. Are you guys with me? But I speak under this anointing, in this building and in this grace, that the spirit of intimidation will depart from your house, will depart from your business, where even employees try to intimidate you as their employer. That I bind that spirit this day. And that spirit of fear will not come back in. But every gift that has become dormant, every gift that has become paralyzed, every gift that has become, and you feel that you are in confusion, and you feel that you've been paralyzed, that this day I command a breakthrough to come. We take authority over intimidation and fear. We bind that witchcraft spirit. And Father, I pray that an activation will come upon your people, that the Spirit of God and the grace of God will rest upon their lives. That right now, there'll be an activation and there'll be a boldness that'll come upon them in Jesus' mighty name. Give him a praise offering, church.